August is a good time to clean up the closet a little bit. Get rid of the summer stuff that you didn't use. Prepare for your autumn wardrobe and upgrade the basics that you'll actually reach for every week. That's why I like Quince. They make fewer, better pieces that feel premium, but don't come with the luxury markup. For me, the piece I keep coming back to is the 100% European linen drawstring beach pants with the matching shirt. I love wearing them on beach vacations because they're easy, they're breathable, comfortable, and they look put together without feeling like I'm trying too hard. Throw them on during the day, wear them by the water, or dress up a little bit at night. That's the kind of staple I actually use because it has versatility. And that's really what Quince does well. They specialize in everyday pieces that work harder, like ultra soft organic cotton tees and premium Magnolia cashmere sweaters that can go from a casual workday to dinner out. If your basics are starting to feel worn out, Quince makes it easy to upgrade with premium denim and tailored chinos from just $60 with the fit, structure, and quality fabrics you'd expect from a luxury designer brand. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middleman, so you're paying for high quality, not brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become a go-to for everything from hotel quality bedding and bath essentials to premium cookware and travel must-haves. Guys, you've been hearing it for so long now how I tell you have to go to quince.com because the website is so fun for all the options that they have. It's a great website to go click around, and the prices can't be beat. Upgrade your everyday. Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers. Go to quince.com/crypto101. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK too. That's quince.com/crypto101. Stop waiting for permission to start your business. Your idea is one step away, and Shopify can make it easy to make it happen. That's what we did at Crypto 101, and use Shopify to sell our book, and the rest is history. The thing I like about Shopify is it takes the scary part out of starting. You're not just sitting there trying to figure out a website, payments, checkout, inventory, all these little things that stop people before they even launch. When I think about building a storefront, the biggest thing is friction. You want someone to land on your page, like what you're selling, and be able to buy without getting stuck. That's where Shopify is huge. Shopify checkout is built to help more customers finish their purchase. And when they come back, their details are already saved. One tap and they're done. The cool part is Shopify powers millions of businesses worldwide, from huge brands that you know, like Mattel and Gymshark, to small businesses just getting started. So whether you're building the next big brand or launching your first product, the infrastructure is already there. Once that part is handled, you can focus on the real work, building the brand, getting attention, and bringing people to your storefront so the business can grow. That moment when someone actually buys, that's when the idea becomes real. With Shopify, nothing stands between your idea and a real business, so go make it one. Start your free trial today at shopify.com/crypto101. That's a free trial at shopify.com/crypto101.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we are live with George Harrington, CEO of Derivinex. We're at the Out East Summit. Great to see you.
Yep, great to be here.
Out East. It's nice. You know, yeah. I think we're going to get a little bit of rain, but here we are. You know, this is an event sponsored by The Tie. And so we're really excited to have George with us to talk about Derivinex, incubated by DRW. And we got a lot of questions to go through. And so before we get too deep into it, George, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about who you are and why you're the man for the job.
Sure. So recent joiner to DRW. I've been with the firm for just about 3 months now. Prior to that, I spent 8 years at MSCI. It was global head of derivatives, a big index company, and looked after their whole derivative portfolio of futures, options, OTC. Before that, I spent 10 years with Bloomberg, where I was head of global markets, built a lot of their trading platform and trading technology, swap execution facilities, multilateral trading facilities, cross-asset platforms, and basically was working actively between MSCI and DRW on the ability of to take an OTC transaction and put it on chain.
Nice.
Focus was to get a standard index total return swap and have that basically routed onto the Canton network and then move into digital settlement. So either tokenized assets, stablecoin, or whatnot for all of the cash flows that go on with with an OTC transaction. In the market, there's been certainly iterations that have looked at it, but I think that the formation of TradFi players around Canton, number one, and then a growing acceptance of stablecoin and tokenized deposits as a medium of transaction really was sort of like, you know, the bell that the time is now. DRW decided to create a company to do this. I was, you know, worked with the teams and was named the CEO, like I said, about 3 months ago now. We're in the process of, we're in build mode right now. We have a team of about 15 developers who are working really actively on it. We just hired a head of operations. We're actively looking at so a few CTO candidates now. Hopefully that will get done soon. And yeah, so we're, the thing that we're super excited about is that we keep finding new use cases. So certainly inside DRW, we have an active equity swap portfolio and trades like quantitative investment strategies, you know, some total return swaps, starting to get into single name swaps, which are growing in popularity. But then there's the commodity world, there's the rates world, there's the crypto world itself, of course.
A lot of green pasture.
A lot of OTC activity. So yeah, it's use case after use case after use case keeps coming along. So we're pretty excited about the whole venture.
That's awesome. I guess my first question just off the bat, hearing about your background, MSCI and several other, you know, Wall Street heavy hitters, why crypto and why now? You know, what kind of was it about this industry where you said, you know what, I'm going to take maybe even the career risk of jumping over to this Wild West asset class, the unknown. Tell me about that decision.
Yeah, so very specifically for index players, right? So there's a lot of activity going on in the index space around things like Hyperliquid that, you know, you see different iterations of tokenized funds. So whether it be an index fund, whether it be you know, a deposit that's backed by an index, and then also index providers putting their IP on chain, either via tokenized asset or directly, right? So if you think about, you know, S&P 500 futures, you know, S&P 500, sorry, S&P, I should say, was the first mover in terms of putting their license index onto Hyperliquid to allow for activity there. They'd also done activity where they created a new index and they're working with some partners on that side. But it was very clear to me, you know, sitting at my desk at MSCI, that this time was real, because, you know, in the TradFi world of derivatives, you know, we've been going to conferences for more than 10 years. It's been blockchain.
Right.
It's coming. You know, there wasn't really sort of the tokenization sort of drive, you know, at least until the last couple of years. And then it really started happening right now. There were venues where these things were trading. You obviously saw, you know, CME and others start to launch, obviously, you know, Bitcoin futures, but also allowing for perpetuals. And that was really the bell for me. It was like, okay, if you're going to create a perpetual that gives you exposure to the index, and you could do it, you know, on a DeFi exchange, but you're getting the exact exposure that you want. How does that affect the ETF world? How does that affect, you know, the mutual fund world in terms of these exposures or standard futures, right? Which again, you know, we did very well at MSCI with those, but perps was a new thing. So dove deeper into it, really sort of saw what, you know, these tokenized transactions can do. Velocity capital really is a huge factor, especially if you look at a firm like a DRW or firms like us. So yes, you know, been a lot of growth in that area. Velocity capital is huge in terms of settling everything atomically, you know, on trade date or a reset date for a swap or something like that. But then furthermore, you know, as the industry expands, being able to do things like single name swaps or, you know, even in index swaps, but you've got a lot of reset points. If you're digitally settling and the money's moving, you know, on that same day versus a T+1 or a T+2 lag, these are game changers. Yeah. So I think that we've really looked at, or I mean, DRW as a whole has really looked at, you know, what's gone on in crypto, you know, and then for TradFi players, the security of the blockchain, the digital record keeping versus, you know, what today is still a lot of emails and, you know, chasers being sent around in terms of what happened, you know, where are we at on this
particular trade? Excel spreadsheets.
what's in the basket? Yeah,
no, having, I mean, to trust some guy who might even be a competitor that you're facing off on.
That's right.
Just taking their word for it.
Right. So now digital record all through the life of the swap, you know, the value is there. And then of course, again, velocity capital. It's
like,
you know, atomic settlement all on T or on whether it's reset date, maturity date. Those are game changers for the OTC industry.
And this is huge because, like, a lot of people think, oh, so if I wire and I don't get it till tomorrow, if I ACH, it's not that big of a deal. But that's because it's your $100 wire to your buddy. You're like, when you're dealing with billions of dollars, you know, every single day it's right. in transit. It's not accruing interest. It's not being able to be leveraged.
Right.
You can't, you know, turn it into what you want to turn it into.
Well, it's also redeployment, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So
you know what slows teams down more than anything? It's not always the headcount, budget, or even the tools themselves. It's when the way work gets done lives in someone's head and never actually gets documented. Then someone new joins, a new platform gets rolled out, or a teammate leaves, and suddenly everybody's doing the same process in a different way. That's exactly the problem today's sponsor, Scribe, was built to solve. Scribe is a workflow AI platform trusted by 94% of the Fortune 500. It captures workflows as they happen and turns them into step-by-step documentation your team can review and share. You just do the process like you normally would, and Scribe builds the guide as you go, capturing every click, step, and screenshot automatically. With our team being remote, I have definitely had moments where I've had to explain the same setup or process more than once to a colleague, and it always feels like something that should have been documented the first time. With Scribe, what could take hours of writing and cleanup can be ready to share in under a minute. Scribe also automatically redacts sensitive information like names, emails, and account numbers from screenshots. Admins can enforce that across the team so nothing slips through the cracks. Plus, anyone following the process can get real-time on-screen guidance showing exactly where to click inside the actual tool. Scribe doesn't just document workflows. It uses AI to suggest ways to improve them, helping you spot redundant steps and opportunities to simplify or automate. To see what Scribe could look like for your org, head to scribe.how/crypto101 and mention Crypto101 for your first month of Scribe Capture free on select plans. That's Scribe, scribe.how/crypto101. Everybody is talking about AI right now, but the AI that actually matters is the kind that saves you time, helps you make smarter decisions, and takes work off your plate. And if you're running an e-commerce business, shipping is one of those things that can either keep you moving or completely slow you down. That's why I like ShipStation. It's an end-to-end order fulfillment platform built for e-commerce businesses, and its AI is trained on decades of real shipping data from billions of shipments across the world. So instead of juggling a bunch of different tools, ShipStation helps you stay in control. It can alert you when your stock is low, recommend the best carrier selections and rates, automate tasks, and help you save time as you grow. You also get inventory syncing across sales channels, automatic rate shopping, a branded returns portal, and integrations with accounting and CRM software, all in one place. If I were running an e-commerce store, this is exactly the kind of tool I'd want, because once the orders start coming in, you don't want shipping to be the thing that's holding you back. Over 1 million businesses have trusted ShipStation to optimize and scale their shipping. The sooner you switch, the sooner you start saving time and money. Get started with ShipStation today and get 60 days free at ShipStation.com with code crypto. That's ShipStation.com, code crypto. ShipStation.com, code crypto. Taxes and fees apply. I don't know about you, but dinner sneaks up on me all the time. I'll open the fridge and realize I have no protein ready. And at that point, I'm not trying to go to the store, make a last-minute grocery run, and gamble on whatever meats or burgers are left at the store. That's why Omaha Steaks is a great freezer move. It's like having a trusted butcher at home and quality protein when you need it the most. Omaha Steaks has earned its reputation with over 100 years. It's the same beef trusted in kitchens across the country, shipped straight to your door. Steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. Your family will think dinner took hours, but it didn't, just minutes. And if you never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect place to start. You get 20 premium steak burgers made from 5 different cuts of steak, 4 filet mignon burgers, 4 New York strip burgers, 4 ribeye burgers, 4 brisket burgers, and 4 sirloin burgers. Guys, this is the altcoin basket of burgers right here. If me and Brian were on the rundown, we would be divvying these up 50-50 because you know how we like to grill in the summer. So you're not just getting a box of burgers, you're getting different flavor profiles, different textures, and real steakhouse style variety you can throw on the grill or cook up fast during the week. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with the promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com. Promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Especially in equity, and we just came out of the earnings cycle, and you saw the incredible,
incredible numbers. Historic.
Right. So with the volatility that we're seeing, if you move the money cycle up by a day and a half, that just means there's more opportunity.
Yeah.
So I think widely the industry sees that now. And also, again, where you look at, especially in the equity world, because most of it's uncleared. In fact, in the equity world, is all uncleared in OTC. You know, that is sort of the lowest hanging fruit where we can help solve problems.
I think you're the perfect guy to ask this question too, because I've been dying to ask somebody. And I don't know if you could comment directly on the suit. CME, or I think it's CME, is suing the SEC for their proliferation of perpetual futures. They were trying to protect dated futures and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Why is the perpetual swap or the perpetual future, why is that so important? What does it do? What does it unlock that dated futures, dated options really couldn't? And the incumbents are just like freaking out about this.
Yeah. I mean, well, the easiest answer is that those futures all are rolling, right?
Yeah. So that's money for them every time you roll it.
Every single time. So, you know, the roll is a key part of that, of the futures industry, and a perp never matures, right? So you put on the exposure, you're gaining, I mean, it's basically a perp is an undated total return swap, where you're getting the return over your life of your holding, and therefore you're not going through the rolling cycle. So I think that, you know, for traditional exchanges,
they see their castle melting.
They also see that they're either they need to move and adopt, but it for sure is competition coming directly into their space.
Yeah,
and also what you see that I mentioned S&P before. So the biggest equity future on CME is on SPX. And then obviously you've got the SPX now trading on Hyperliquid. So yeah. There, I am sure if you're sitting in that chair, it's like,
what do we do?
We've got some risk on here.
Now, is the perpetual future just as safe? Is it just as, risk manageable as a dated contract?
So I think it depends on your venue, right?
Okay.
And also your risk for appetite. So I think that, where... if you look at the traditional exchanges, and that's why you are seeing a lot of motion around perpetuals. I think SGX was the first, Singapore Exchange was one of the first ones to do perps. There is a lot of activity at CME itself, at ICE, at other exchanges. So I do think you will see a run into that space around perpetual futures.
Yeah.
And again, it's the rolling concept, moving around the world. Now, how does the pricing structure change? I'm not really sure. I do know for sure that, when you're looking at a TradFi buy side, right, whether it be an asset owner, investment manager, hedge fund, I think that there's going to be varying levels of caution into going to real DeFi exchanges for perps, because again, there's been hundreds of years of history of these things work,
right?
They can manage a financial crisis, the waterfall default scenarios work. You go back to, the GFC, right? None of the exchanges, were crumbling. So I think that it will still take a while for real traditional players to move into perps on DeFi exchanges.
Do you find yourself having to do a lot of explaining about what happened October 6th, October 10th, Binance, all the perpetual futures? They went to zero. Yeah. They had auto liquidations.
Yeah.
When you're talking to clients and stuff, do they say, well, how could that not happen to your product?
Yeah. So really not at all. And that's because we're very much in the OTC world. All of the transactions that we're going to do are still based on ISDA to ISDA, LEI to LEI. So
break that down for our audience.
Oh, sorry. So based on the legal swap agreements between the counterparties, so they know each other.
Got it.
So there's KYC, know your client, AML, anti-money laundering. So they still are falling back on their traditional onboarding. So if you think about a DRW and a Goldman Sachs, right? We already have these agreements in place. We know exactly. Our platform will recognize those agreements and basically say that these two counterparties, they know each other. They've established a trading relationship. They have this in TradFi world today. Now they're going to move on to Canton. They're going to enable each other on Canton on a fully private network. So you're not going to get a trade coming in from someone that you have not already agreed upon.
Yep.
Therefore, you've looked back at the traditional arrangement, but now you're on chain.
Yeah,
you're on chain. You've got the privacy and security of Canton, and then you're moving into the digital settlement.
Yeah.
So you agree to say we're going to use USDC, USDT, tokenized treasuries, whatever the asset is that you're going to utilize. All of those are agreed upon by the counterparties. So we're really not in the
retail exchange game.
We're not doing anything with perps ourselves at this point in time. So we're not really running into, you're introducing risk, right?
Yeah.
It's a matter of really, it's a matter of, okay, you know, the value of this seems really clear to us. And, you know, how can we deploy it? So what we're doing is we're looking at our pipeline of build. And right now we're focused on a lot of this index product, and we're partnering with some of the oracles that are doing the index tokenization services to pick up an MSCI index, a S&P index, FTSE, whoever it may be, get that actually into the smart contracts. We also actually read in the legal IP rights of the index itself. Right. So we're not allowing trades on where there's no, you know, correct licensing structure in place. And then obviously we get the trade on chain and we're doing the digital settlement. So we're not really going down a path, a more risky path. So we're not getting pushed back on that front.
Love it. And now tell me, you know, before we kind of get into current market dynamics, there's a platform you've mentioned a couple times called Canton.
Yeah.
And many of our listeners, I'm sure, know about Canton, the CC token. It's something that kind of took the world by storm last year and has a lot of momentum into this year.
Yep.
It has, you know, some of the, if not the most notional settlement volume for all the different real world assets and tokenized assets.
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about what Canton is, maybe why you chose that instead of something like Ethereum or Solana.
Yep. Yeah.
And then we want to get into some of the current market dynamics.
Yeah, no, I mean, very, very clearly the big factor there for us was security and privacy, right?
Okay.
So in TradFi world, you know, whether it's major banks, asset managers, asset owners.
Before you get to efficiency, before you get to anything, it's security, privacy, number one and number two.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, obviously, you know, in a lot of blockchain, they're open networks,
right?
This is not an open network. It is a private network. And again, going back to what I was saying before with that full entitlement layer of we know each other, we're entitling one another on this platform.
Yeah.
That brings a lot of valuable security. Also, all these firms have major, as I mentioned, you know, major compliance requirements to know who we're going to be transacting with. That's all been done for regular, you know, traditional OTC swaps. So we sort of carry that through. That was easily the highest value. And it's also where you sort of look at what's going on with Canton. It's where a lot of the major players are.
They're a big sponsor here.
They're a big sponsor here, but they're also, it's like where the TradFi players are going on. Now, I will say from a functionality standpoint, we are building it that we could go to a different blockchain if clients wanted to use it. They wanted to onboard a swap through it. They wanted to do the digital wallet connectivity.
Sure.
So that's, we're open to that, but we're starting with Canton for our first handful of trades and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, makes a ton of sense. And then kind of to round out the conversation, you know, a lot of the listeners are, you know, folks who have been invested in, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and several of the other altcoins. And ever since October, I'm in the boat with you guys. It's been tough.
Yeah.
And so I know that when the asset prices are down, that's when institutions really lean in because, you know, you guys have been around the block. You've lived through depressions and recessions. You've lived through these market cycles.
Yeah.
A lot of the folks who are trading crypto, just by the nature of it being, you know, a newer asset class, right, they're young kids, right, they're, you know, straight out of college, or they're in their first, second or third job. And so, you know, from your view, and I'll give you my view, because I'm not sure if I want to see if I'm on the money or not, but like, there's just been so much competition for capital, right? Like tech investors have a limited amount of attention, limited amount of capital, and they've been chasing the hot ball of money, which has been AI.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little bit of robotics, a little bit of this and that, but like, back in, you know, 2017, 2021, it was like crypto was really kind of the only, you know, investable, like, you know, really techie sort of thing, I guess, kind of. Mm-hmm. And so why are market prices down so much, especially against a backdrop of like, you know, rates have been high for a while.
Yeah.
S&P is charging to new all-time highs. Yeah. Like other risk assets are doing well, but crypto's down 50 to 80% off the highs.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not trying to dodge, but I'm not, it's really hard for me to speculate on the sort of supply demand cycle around crypto itself. I mean, I think there's a lot of going on. You were talking about Canton Coin before. So I think there's a lot of migration of capital going on that you're seeing in the crypto space. So while, you know, obviously the biggest story, you know, is sort of the pullback on Bitcoin, but money has moved in different directions.
Yeah.
I think people have a lot more options than they used to. Obviously, you've seen the proliferation of all the coins.
Yeah, there's like millions of them now.
Right, exactly. And then also, I think that the other factor, I think, is that there's a lot more adoption of stable, right? So if you look at USDC and USDT,
like, straight up to the right,
they're like, okay, like this is a crypto, this is a digital asset that I'm not getting exposure to massive volatility. So yep. I very similar to what we're doing in OTC. It's like you get the benefit of having it on a chain, you get the benefit of having atomic settlement, but you're not riding the roller coaster of a true crypto asset in terms of the supply demand dynamics of it. It's you know, pegged to the dollar, pegged to the euro, whatever it is. So yeah, I think that's my view. But again, that's not a DRW view. Don't hold me to it.
So yeah, you know, kind of in closing, you know, bull market or bear market, you guys are going to be building.
Yep.
Do you prefer one or the other? Do you like that, you know, there's not a bunch of retail frenzy and that you guys could just put your heads down and build? Or are you kind of excited for that next wave? And how are you kind of thinking about it?
Volatility, I think volatility keeps eyes on the space, right?
Yeah.
And so we are in that period right now. There's obviously, like, as you mentioned, equity markets are strong. Crypto markets have pulled off a bit. But eyes are very, very clearly on the space. And last week you saw the, you know, sort of the series of trades that went through DTCC,
yep.
you know, hitting Canton for treasuries. And there was actually a number of different transactions that were done in that space as well, too. There was some ETF trades that went through from the equity side as well that were, you know, digitized and also hit Canton as well. So I think there's a much, much sense of broader adoption that we're going through right now. There's a lot of building going on in terms of like node setup, digital wallet connectivity. All of those things are very exciting for us to see, because those are sort of the yellow lights turning to green lights in terms of like, okay, these guys are actually ready to move into these type of transactions.
For sure. On that note, I saw last week, Larry Fink was talking about, he's like, over the CEO of BlackRock, next 12 months are going to be big for digital assets, he was saying. So it's like, all right, we're starting to get little inklings and breadcrumb trails from the men up top that, you know, guys, the crypto market isn't dead forever,
right?
Just dead for now. But it's going to come back roaring. We're starting to see some green shoots in the market. So, George, really appreciate your time. Everybody check out Derivinex, and hope you enjoy the rest of your stay here in the North Fork of New York.
Thanks, Bryce. Happy to be here.